Well, I'm thankful this morning that the rock is my foundation, my hope and my salvation. And I'm thankful that he's been with me through it all. We might bow our heads for a moment here. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are the rock of our salvation this morning, that you're able and well able to do what you've promised to do in our lives. God, one thing you've promised us is to be with us and to lead and guide, Lord, in these kind of times and these situations by your Spirit. So we pray you would, dear Jesus, that you would have control by your Spirit and you would allow to be spoken what you want spoken, dear Jesus. Let it be your words that come forth, dear God, in the way you desire them to be. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's been another song going around in my head this week, and I knew there was a reason I needed my, excuse me here, I put a few of the lyrics here on my phone, recorded them so I could share them with you correctly. Not sure it's a song many of us have heard, and it's called Finish What He Started, and it's speaking of the Lord in our lives. It says, but God will, he will finish what he started. No thread will be left unwoven. Nothing will be left undone. Every plan and every purpose that he has will be accomplished. And God will finish what he's begun. And it may feel like 40 long days in a hard driving rain or 40 years in a dry desert sand. But when he's finished, we'll see a beautiful tapestry. And this line here has really come home to me this week. It says, and we'll know that nothing has been wasted in the end. I thank the Lord for this song. It's been a blessing to me, those words stirring in my heart and reminding me that what's happening in my life as a child of God is, as I've committed my life to Christ, I always feel it necessary to be so clear, because so many people want to say yes, 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 you know, in the world. But are our lives submitted to his control? Jesus said, you ask anything in my name, it shall be done. Well, there's a big significance to the way that Jesus said that. Are our lives in his control? But if I am desiring the Lord to have his way in my life from my heart, and I'm allowing him that room to work, then I have an assurance that whatever is happening in my life, no however mundane, however off the wall, however out of left field, however hard, however a struggle, I have an assurance in my heart that the Lord is allowing it there for a purpose. And his purpose is to finish what he started. You know, 32 years ago, God started something in me that I thank God he did. Yes. I thank God for what he started. But I'm so glad it wasn't just a day in my life. Amen. I'm so glad that he has worked to teach me, to help me, to break me at times. We said in Sunday school, looked into that one word in the Hebrew, and it meant to collapse. Contrite spirit is to collapse, to bring me to a point where I truly was getting out of the way for the Lord. And still, let me not speak too confidently in myself, still works to help me to collapse before him and allow him to be the strength, to be the one doing the work. And in the midst of that, how difficult that is as a human being to give that kind of control over our life, I have an assurance that it wasn't just a moment in my life. And it's not just a moment right now. But there's something that God is working for my eternal good. You know, in the process, I'm thrilled to know that he'll accomplish some good in some other places through me. But what means the most is to know that what's happening to me is for me. It's for the Lord to do his work in me, and that he's going to finish that work. He's not going to leave it undone. I'm not going to get to the end of my life and say, Lord, you remember that big old trial that I was submitted to? And Lord, what was that for? And he goes, well, really nothing. That's not who God is. Everything that he's allowing in my life is for a purpose. to help me be what I should be before Him, that my soul might be safe. You know, we say that line, we say, to be what I should be. Well, okay, yeah, I've got to be this big Christian. Well, it's more than that. It's my soul being safe. That's the bottom line between me and the Lord, is that my soul makes it to heaven and that I'm there one day and that the path there is as clear as it can be in my life. You know, the Lord knows what lies ahead, but the Lord's working for us and planning to finish what He started. In Philippians, the second chapter, let's get some scripture here. Philippians 2 and 13, we have a verse here that says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And it is God that worketh in you. I think there's two thoughts here that we need to leave this verse with, and maybe you see them already. But the first one is, it is God which worketh in you. You know, I think sometimes we can see, and this is true, we can see this in the light of, okay, God's going to be the one who's able to do the work that needs to be done here. And that is absolutely true. We need that concept in our life that it is God. We must have that. But we also have to see within that, that that applies to my situation. Okay, it's God that worketh in me. Now, what are we going to do about this difficulty that I'm having over here? Well, first off, we're going to apply this verse to it. That difficulty that you see, you could rename it God working in me. Unless you're not submitted to Christ. Unless you're bringing things into your life because you're not yielding to Him, well, then that's a whole other ballgame. But if you're seeking to serve the Lord, seeking to allow Him to have His way, then the thing you call difficulty over here is, you could rename it. You could say, God working in me. And that brings it to a whole other level in my life. It's not easy to accept the struggles. But when I apply that verse to Him and I realize the truth that is in that, it changes things for me just a little bit. Paul talked about glorying in his sufferings. Well, I don't know that Paul ever said, I wish... Well, we know sometimes he said, please remove this from me. He had his struggles, but I understand what he means. Because how long could I sit and talk about what a blessing that is, that God would work in me, that He would not just leave me for who I am, but He would be willing to work in me. Then, Lord, please help me not to do anything to offend You about this situation through my complaining, through my frustration with it, through whatever I might humanly want to react in a certain way to this situation. Lord, help me to lay that aside, that I not offend You. Not offend You. Your work, you walk into a craftsman shop and they're working on making something, and you begin to say, well, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why don't you do that different? How welcome are you going to be in that place? Not very welcome. Do we see God the same way? Lord, help us to see Him the same way. How welcome am I in this situation if I'm not willing to say, Lord, thank You for being here. Thank You for working in me. Thank You for having mercy. Thank You for bringing me this difficulty. Lord, it's not easy. Don't misunderstand me. But thank You for Your craftsmanship. Thank You for what You're trying to do and You're willing to do in my life. So Lord, help us to see that the right way. You know, one of the biggest problems when we don't is our sufferings become optional. That is a real danger. Beware. Let me just say it. There's a place in the Bible that talks about the watchman should cry from the walls, and I feel like it applies right here, that I need to say to all of us, me included, beware of taking the sufferings of the Lord that He brings into your life as optional. That can be something so easily accepted. And in doing that, if we're not careful, we're going to miss the handiwork of the Lord in our life. And you know, if I whittle you a bear climbing a tree out of a log, I doubt you will be able to recognize it for what I intended it to be. But if God does it, you're probably going to jump back scared because you think it's real. Consider it for a moment. I saw Cameron had, y'all seen the flag he did out of wood. I'm impressed. I was very impressed. I also know if I tried that, it wouldn't look the same way. Right? Now, Cameron's pretty good at that. God's even better at the work he does in our lives. I want him to. Lord, help me not to consider it optional. The struggles and the things he allows in my life as I submit to him, let me see them as the workings of the Lord that are necessary in my life. What did David say one place? I believe it was David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, and maybe it wasn't David, I think maybe I have that wrong, but the verse is in the Bible. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've returned to the Lord because of the afflictions, because of the things, the sufferings he's allowed into my life. And I would say that this doesn't just apply to our bodies, because there's been some times that it all feeds that way. Yeah, when you're sick, think about it. Put it before the Lord first, before you do anything else. Do that. No matter what you're going to do about the situation, put it before the Lord first. But realize it applies to everything else in your life as well. And before you fix this situation at work, say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to know what to do. Lord, what is it that you're wanting out of me in this situation? As I go forward and I do my job to do here, how is it that you want me to react? With my, Lord, help me. Amber and I talked about something this morning, and heads up to my kids. I got something I got to talk to y'all about concerning me and the way I handled a situation that I hadn't even considered with my children. And I need to say that before I say what I'm going to say to y'all as a minister. Help me with my kids. How do I handle those situations? Do I handle them just so quickly because I'm dad and the Lord's already committed me to this situation, so therefore whatever I do is the will of the Lord? I've heard that application. That's not accurate. Lord, help me in my situation with my children. Now, don't get it wrong, kids. I don't expect that I or any of your parents will kneel and pray when you've done obvious wrong, that they'll kneel and pray for 30 minutes before they react and work and give you what you need in that situation. But we should have a consideration. Children, to your parents, don't just react. Stop for a minute. Think about your reactions. The Lord's got a better path. Do you want a log that nobody recognizes? Or what the Lord can do in your life? It's not even to be compared. And we have that option. You don't have to wait till you're 25 and understand all the reasons to start reacting that way. You can react right now and say, Lord, help me. I want to react this way, but help me to consider, because, Lord, you're doing something in me. In all these moments, there's a work you want to do. Help me to allow you to do those works in my life. Amen. You know, right before this in Philippians, the 12th verse, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Realize it's not really optional unless you really don't care where you end up after this life. And if you don't care now, you will then. So start caring now. Make sure you care completely now. Not just partially, but that's the center of your life. That's what your life is about. Lord, I want to have a lot of things to do, but let it all be done in a way that I end up where I want to be in eternity. You know what? It's the same place God wants you to be. If you take time to think about it, this thing's going to work out. God's going to finish what he started. Some of us are just maybe moments, I don't know, removed from making a decision to follow Christ. Some of us are years. But you know what? God's just as interested in finishing both of those jobs. All of those jobs. All of us. He's interested in finishing that. So let's let him do that. You know, I'll tell you one more thing about sufferings to try to encourage you to let God do his work in your life. The rainbow came after the flood. And the walls of Jericho, them falling, and River Jordan parting, that happened after the 40 years in the wilderness. The Lord's not working to destroy you. He's working to give you something amazing in your life. So let him do it. All right, Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8, and we'll start with the 19th verse. And there's a message here of how all creation moans and groans. And he'll mention that much more those of us that know the Lord, so to speak. He says it in some different words. And I want us to get a hold of the picture there. As Christians, we should know where our hope is, where our blessings are. But there's truly something within all of mankind. You say, well, no, it's not. Well, yeah, it is, because if something else created us, it wouldn't necessarily be there. But God created us, and he put us together. And in that, he put a yearning in the soul to be with him, to live. Let's just break it down simply. Let's just talk about living, because without Christ, our souls are dead. And the dead soul cries out. Maybe the person doesn't realize or recognize. And you know, as Christians, sometimes we don't recognize the extent of that yearning the soul has for God. Thank God he put that in us. But as we read this, understand that that's what it's talking about. So let's look at it now. The 19th verse. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, this work that the Lord is doing is what that within us that we can't really put our finger on, that yearning, that desire. I remember when I wasn't saved, there were a lot of things I thought I wanted more than being saved. But yet there kept being something that was gnawing inside of me that couldn't get satisfied. Even as I thought, well, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is it. It's still there. You know, when God pushes away all the noise, there's still this emptiness inside of me. It's there in all of us. The Lord is the only way it can be met. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know it that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. But not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves within ourselves wait for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? So it's a picture here of someone who has seen a work start in their life, but it's not done. It's not finished. Like we started off talking about, okay? For if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So this morning, wait for it. God will finish what he has started in your life. I don't know how deep the valley you may be in. You know, we all sit here and we all look pretty okay this morning. I just got to tell you, y'all look okay. Your eyes are open and all of you. But anyways, I shouldn't have verged there. But we're sitting here this morning in church. We all look okay, but we don't know how deep the valleys are that the person behind us, beside us, may be walking through. You know, sometimes maybe even those who are closest to us, we struggle to understand what's happening right now in their life. Some of my best friends right before I got saved said, Brandon, I don't want anything to do with this. They didn't understand that the places God was taking me through to get me in the place where he could deliver my soul. But yet, be encouraged. What the Lord has started in you, however deep that valley, however steep the mountain right now that you're walking through, to use some cliches maybe, but they're true. The Lord's going to finish it. Don't get impatient. Don't get discouraged. Don't sit down in the valley. Don't walk back down the mountain. keep moving forward in your life. You know what? You're moving forward. Might be somebody who sits beside you and says, wow, it doesn't look like they're moving anywhere at all. But you know what? If you're digging in the Lord, if you're doing your best, and sometimes you're just holding on. You're doing what's necessary before the Lord to keep moving. And this work will be finished. You will cross the mountain. You will cross the valley by the grace of God if you continue to hold on to the Lord. He's not going to let go of you. Amen. You know what? You can walk away from Him. You can push Him away. You can give up. You can abandon Him. But the Lord's not going to abandon you. As long as you continue to push towards the prize and you desire Him with all your heart and you continue to do the work in your life that He's calling you to do, you just keep on. God will help you. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You know, spiritually speaking, it's like sometimes we're climbing hills we can't see. Because we don't see everything about the situation. We just know how we feel. But the Spirit recognizes all the ins and outs. He sees the... you know, Amber and I on our anniversary trip, we did quite a bit of hiking. And one thing I figured out is that you don't always know exactly how the land is going to be under your foot. You may think you do, but you don't always know exactly how those contours are. And sometimes you may stumble because you're not sure, you know, you don't see it completely. That's how it is for us spiritually. We're walking the trail. We're not trying to fall sometimes, but that stone, we just didn't realize it was that steep or that slick. But you know what? The Spirit can help us if we let Him. We can't just work. We talked a little bit in Sunday school. We can't just work to clear ourselves. We have to work to submit ourselves to the hand of the Lord. Because that's when the Spirit can say, watch out, there's a rock. Watch out, there's a hole. When we're just trying to clear ourselves in our lives, and what I mean by that is just, oh, it happened, I'll set it right, and I'll move on. Why did it happen? That's when we start letting the Spirit do His work. Lord, this is what happened, and thank You for Your mercy about this, but Lord, why did it happen in my life? What is inside of me that's creating this situation? You know, we say, how does a person work on that? Well, they don't. But the Holy Spirit does. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. We can't look at it and say, oh, okay, this is why, all right. So, Lord, do this for me and this for me and this for me so that I can have the victory over this in my life. You can't do that. And sometimes we get to thinking we can. Well, I did it because of this. Well, maybe that had a little something to do with it, but I rest assured you're not seeing all the reasons why you react the way you do sometimes. Or you face situations and your actions go the way they go. But God does, and His Holy Spirit does. And it says He wants to pray for you. If I pray for you, or you pray for each other, that's wonderful. But the Holy Spirit sees all the holes and all the pitfalls and all the... And He says the Spirit prays for us.
Yes.
Then let's let Him do His work. Spirit, there's something in me I can't see. Help me. Do what's ever necessary. What these situations that I'm renaming the work of the Lord in my life, bring them on. Bring them, please. Bring on every single one you see I need. And Lord, help me just to submit myself to them and allow them to do the work that needs to be done in my life. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. For he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Oh, I've just got to read back up here again. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. He doesn't just know, He cares. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I've got a Spirit praying for me, the Holy Spirit, that doesn't just know what's wrong in my life and why these things are happening, but He also cares about me. He says He's groaning for me. In ways that I can't even groan, that I can't even mourn, that I can't even reach to. the Holy Spirit's doing. Thank you, Lord. I'm happy. I don't know about that. That makes me happy. Makes me thankful because I need it. I need somebody who can do that working in my life. I realize that. And I've got some encouragement here. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we know, do you know this morning? Do you know this? Lord, help us. I feel like I want to just ask it directly to us, so just pretend I am and you answer it quietly. Do you know that if you live for God, if you allow your life to be called for His purpose, that He will work in such a way that all things, mundane, trivial, desperate, frustrating, put your adjectives on it, whatever you want to put on it, all things work together for good to them that are the called. So you know what I'm worried about? I want to be one of those called. Mm-hmm. Lord, what do I do? Lord, here I am, Lord. What is it you want to do in my life? Humble myself. Lord, there are a lot of ways I thought about running off. There's a lot, not necessarily running off from you, but just running off with my life and doing this and running off and doing this and running on and doing this. Lord, that's all yours. Lord, I want to be the called according to your purpose. Where do you want me to run? What do you want me to do? Lord, let that be my life. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. I don't have that blueprint. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't have it for me. I don't have it for you. It's going to take something besides you and me. It's going to take the reality of the Holy Spirit, not just the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Y'all, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is true, and if it's taught right, it's wonderful, but it will not do what's necessary unless you allow the reality of the Holy Spirit to work as He's looking to work in your life. I can all day long say, Holy Spirit, work in my life, and if I resist the Holy Spirit, that's what makes the decision of whether or not He's able to work in my life. That's why I say, you come along, you feel convicted about something, there's a push in the world to say, oh, y'all, fear is a liar. And fear is not how we live our life, that kind of unsubstantiated fear that they're talking about. But there's a push to push aside conviction. Oh, conviction just makes us it makes us nervous. It makes us anxious, and we shouldn't be anxious. Listen, you just give your anxiety to the Lord.
Yes.
And you say, like David said, Lord, if there is a wicked way in me, show me. I'm in your hand anyways. Lord, if you don't do something about it, I should be pretty anxious. So Lord, just let it work in my life. Because I don't want to resist your Holy Spirit. I want to let your Spirit work. Now we can talk, and I do want to say, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you to do things that aren't clear, all right? That's so important. It's clear, and the Lord will show you. But don't worry about be careful resisting conviction in your life. Be careful by trying to just justify it or trying to make it go away by saying, well, it was okay. Or even honestly, y'all, by just saying, well, the Lord had mercy on me. Be careful about that. Good, yes, the Lord does. But there's a part of conviction that's necessary to reach deeper too. It's not just that the Lord's going to forgive you. He is. But He's also going to take His grace and He's going to change you. So look for both things to happen in your life. That's how you combat the devil on both sides. Because he'll try to get you too nervous and he'll try to get you resisting it. He'll try to get you overborne this way and just thinking that everything's wrong with your life. And he'll get you over here where you're resisting the knowledge that anything's wrong with your life. But just let the Lord show his mercy to you. and realize that he also has grace that needs to work inside of you. And let him do that work in your life. So it says, because he predestinated it that we would be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn, that he might be the only one that ever looks like that in this whole world. No, the plan was that he would be the firstborn among many brethren.
Yes.
What does that mean? Okay, what that means is that the life Christ lived, the world should see that being lived out through us. Now that he's gone, we are his light. We are where he is shining his light through. Therefore, if we don't look like brethren, how the world's going to know that we are?
Amen.
Just, and there's a lot in that statement. I realize I'm going to have to leave it right there for now for the sake of this message. But if we don't look like brethren, how is the world going to know we are?
Amen.
If we don't speak the way Jesus spoke, in the kindness, in the patience, in the long-suffering, that's all through his word, then how are they going to know? And if we don't have the love, well, I love all men. Okay, well then, is it manifest out through your life? Do people see you enduring all things? Do they see you bearing all things? Do they see you where showing care to somebody is more important than recognition of religion, of your religiousness? There's another word I want, and I can't quite get it right now. But what is it that I'm living for? All right? Lord, help us. You pray for me. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's just let the Lord take over. Let's collapse before him. Let's be broken before him. And let him deal with the image. Oh, and don't let the devil trap you with the image thing. Because that's where we get trapped sometimes. We're like, well, I got to make sure and preserve the image. You know what you got to do? You got to collapse before the Lord. And you got to be broken before him. And the Lord will take care of the image. Because you know what image is going to shine through you when you do that? The image of Christ.
Yes.
Your righteousness is as filthy rags.
Amen.
That's the best you can do with your image. And you're going to do a lot worse than that when you're trying to preserve your image. Let it go. Don't worry about that. Be broken before the Lord. Collapse before the Lord. And allow him to resurrect you with his image. To perform the work in you that's necessary that he might shine forth in you. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know what those all things are? We know that, right? What those all things are? It's all the things necessary to finish the work in us. You know what? If you need a little bread along the way, the Lord's going to give that to you. But that's not the meat of what he's talking about here. He's talking about all the things that are necessary to finish the work deep in us. And by finishing, I don't just mean that day off there. You know, the Lord finishes works in us daily. There's, you know, when was it Michelangelo did the Sistine Chapel? Am I right? Y'all can tell me no. It was somebody else, but I think that's who did it. All right. Was it just one little painting that's finished? You know, daily there were parts of it that he finished. One day he finished it all. Daily the Lord is finishing works in you if you'll let him. Don't be discouraged by, but it's not all done yet. Okay, you're all right. God will do that. He's working on that. But he does it by working daily in you.
Yes.
In each situation to finish that part of the painting. That part. And it's beautiful. You're beautiful. If the Lord's doing that in your life, you're beautiful before him. This is... It's not filthy rags anymore. It's not. God's doing something beautiful. One day it'll be finished. And you won't look over at that wall that's kind of still left unpainted. It's like, Lord, we got some more work to do. But what he's doing daily is beautiful. Let him do it. Be encouraged. Don't be discouraged in the Lord. You know, I want to just read a few different places where Paul... And maybe it was Apollos, and one of them, we're going to read a little bit from Hebrews, but where there were just prayers going forth. I just want to read over these kind of quickly here. Philippians 1, the first chapter. In the third verse, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. I want you to know, this is my prayer for you. It's my prayer for me. Let it be our prayer for each other. And with confidence. Confidence. We may see each other struggle from time to time. I don't want any one of you to give up because you struggled. Because there was a struggle in your life. There's no reason to do that. God will help you. God will be faithful. He will stand beside you and he will complete the work. Do not give up. Keep on working. No matter how frustrated you're getting or whatever the situation, work to yield to the Lord, to submit to him in your life and to learn more and more what that means. Colossians, the first chapter, 9th verse, says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. If it's your strength that you're dependent on to get it done, it ain't going to work. But God will give you the power. It says, to them who believed, he gave the power to become the sons of God. It would be so different, he said, to them that believed, he allowed them to be the sons of God. But he said he gave power. There's a necessity in us for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. There has to be a power besides us at work in our life, and we've got to figure out how to allow that to happen. The basic bottom line is that we yield to the Lord. We humble ourselves. We follow all we know, and we recognize that we're not... I hate using the word perfect. I shouldn't even say I hate using that word. That's probably not the way I should say that. You forgive me for that. I don't like to use the word perfect, but we look inside of us and we say, Lord, there's still a work to be done. There's still a need for you to work here. There sure is. There sure is still a need for the power of God in each one of our lives to keep us and perfect us. And we, the Lord doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He doesn't love Paul more than he loved us. He loves us all completely. And if we'll let him, he will let his power work in us to make us what we should be in this life. All right? Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews 13 and 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Remember, this word means complete. God's going to finish his work in you. He will finish what he started. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Oh, thank you, Lord, because I tried a lot and it just really kind of fell flat. I'm thankful for this verse. where you said you would do the work if I would let you in my life. So, Lord, help me to let you do the work. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I want to read one more verse to you. What is this labor that we do to enter into this rest, to be successful? Is it us fixing all the situations? No. The Lord will tell you some things to do that will look kind of like that. But if it's going to work, it's going to come from the Lord. All right? This verse here says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? It's perfecting us, completing us into the image of Christ, that Christ would be seen in all things in our life. Abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor to enter into this rest. Your labor to learn and to understand how to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life in the way He's meant to work. It's not in vain. Don't give up on it. You know, hey, if you're young and like this is a totally new experience and you're growing in this, just keep growing. It revolves around humbling yourself and realizing you need God to do what's necessary in your life that you might be saved, that you might be kept. It revolves around that. There's a lot more to learn about it maybe than that. There is. But don't be discouraged. And you know what? If you've been learning about the Holy Spirit, I don't know about you, I'm 50. No, I'm not. I've got to stop that. I'm 49. But anyways, I'm really not doing that on purpose, y'all. I don't understand what the deal is. But anyways, if you're 49 like me, and I've been saved for 32 years, and I've learned a lot in the Lord. I mean, the Lord's taught me. It's not been easy all the time. It's been humiliating sometimes. It's been very humiliating sometimes. It was worth it not to say I'm too embarrassed to do this anymore. I'm too frustrated to do this anymore. I'm so glad I didn't do that, that I let the Lord work in my life. And that's my desire from now until He calls me home.
Amen.
No matter how humiliating, embarrassing, frustrating, whatever it might be, just let me cling to the Lord. Let me labor to enter into this rest of learning how to let His Holy Spirit work in my life. You pray for me.